We're going to turn tonight in the precious Word of God to the Old Testament, and we're in the prophecy of Hosea this evening, the prophecy of Hosea. We're going to read some verses from chapter 1, and then we're going to read the third chapter, which is just five verses. So let's turn to the prophecy of Hosea. It falls at that beginning of that section of books that's often known as the Minor Prophets, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book, one of those tender books in Old Testament story. Hosea, a great prophet of the Lord, and yet he was a man with a tender heart and a love for God's people. And while some prophets maybe sound harsh and were cutting and set the trumpet to their mouth and really exposed sin, Hosea was a man that had a very tender heart. And tonight we're going to discover why that was and why that is. And we're going to read from Hosea chapter 1, just the first five verses. And then we'll read from Hosea chapter 3 as well. Hosea 1 and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And then let's turn to chapter 3 of Hosea, and we'll read from verse number 1. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide with me for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, for thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord, and his goodness in the latter days. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for his own name's sake. The Lord has really impressed upon my heart, I believe, over the last few weeks, the life of Gomer. She was the wife of the prophet Hosea. And there's one word that summarizes the life of Gomer, and it's the word grace. I want to speak tonight upon the subject, the triumph of grace in the life of Gomer. And that same grace that changed her life and redeemed her, and then after she fell and brought her back, is the same grace that can triumph tonight in your life and make you a new person and a new creature and give you a new beginning and a new start. Let's just wait upon the Lord and let's seek the face of God together. Will you unite our hearts with us as we seek the Lord in prayer? Father, tonight we thank thee for the throne of grace. And we thank thee, Lord, that the grace of God is a wonderful thing. We thank thee for how the grace of God can change a sinner completely. And even, Lord, somebody who's backslidden and far from God, and even a nation or a church that's lost out with God can be transformed again by thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, that the grace of God can triumph in hearts. Lord God, tonight we pray that that grace will triumph in the heart and hearts of men and women tonight in this meeting, young people too. Lord God, we pray that thou wilt do a work. will account for time and eternity. I pray for thy help. Pray that thou wilt fill me and anoint me with thy Spirit. Let my name perish, Lord. Glorify the man of Calvary and thine own great name. Extend thy kingdom and execute thy will, we ask in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. The prophet Hosea has been referred to by some as the prophet for Israel's zero hour. Israel now had become a terribly backslidden people. They had fallen into all manner of sin. They'd committed idolatry. They'd committed adultery. They turned to false gods. And yet God still had a heart for his backslidden people. And he raised up this man by the name of Hosea. And Hosea would preach for years to this backslidden nation. And his message in reality was a message that was very simple. We see it summarized in several places in the prophecy. For example, in chapter 6, verse 1, Hosea said, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." And then in chapter 14, verse 1, one last call, he says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." And the message of Hosea was not a message so much of accusation, but it was a message of love, a message of mercy, grace, and tenderness, as he pleaded with all of his heart, with tears in his eyes and a broken heart, to call this people to return unto the Lord. Now, Hosea, I believe, was a man deeply acquainted with the heart of God. John Phillips says that Hosea was not only the prophet of the broken heart, but he was also the prophet of the broken home. Because Hosea had a wife who proved to be unfaithful. She committed adultery, and more than that, she became a recognized harlot in the town that Hosea lived in. She proved to be unfaithful. And as Hosea's wife was unfaithful to him, God just spoke to Hosea. In Hosea chapter 3 and verse number 1, "Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods." God was married to his people. He loved them with an everlasting love. He would never reject them. He would never cast them off. But yet his people that were married to him had committed spiritual adultery. And as Jeremiah says that God is married to the backslider, so Hosea is pleading with this people who are married to the Lord to return unto their first love. You see, God does view it as spiritual adultery whenever we depart from the God that we profess to know, love, and serve. He views it as a very serious thing, and he says to us in Scripture, in James chapter 4, that it is spiritual adultery whenever a professing believer loves the world more than they love God. And God is heartbroken about this. The heart of God, I believe, is broken tonight for those people that are far from God, yet once knew what it was to abide under the shadow of his wing. And Hosea chapter 3 is the portion that we're going to base our thoughts upon this evening. And this chapter has oftentimes been called the greatest chapter in all the Bible. The greatest chapter in all the Bible, for it shows not only the love of a broken-hearted prophet for an unfaithful wife, but the overriding theme is the love and the broken heart of God for his bride that has departed from him and committed spiritual adultery. It's a lovely story of grace. And friends, tonight, God's salvation is all of grace. From beginning to end, from center to circumference, God's salvation is a story of redeeming grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 3 and verse number 24, "Being justified freely by his grace." And as we look at this woman, Gomer, we see the triumph of grace in the life of a sinner. I want to speak tonight for the encouragement of God's people. That there's nobody that's so far from God, but the love of God can't reach them. And also to create within us, as we meditate upon the words of God and the truth of God, to cultivate faith and encouragement that God is not finished with the backslider. And also to challenge those of you in this meeting tonight who are either far from God, backslidden, or not saved at all. The triumph of grace in the life of Gomer. There's just three simple things that I want to say about grace that we see in the life of this unfaithful wife. First of all, it was unconditional grace. Unconditional grace. Look at chapter 1. God asks Hosea to do something that would be exceedingly difficult. He asked Hosea to marry a woman who was a prostitute. Now, we're not going to go into details because it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but most of us tonight know what a prostitute or a harlot is. And this woman was known in the streets and the back streets and the dirty part of town as being a prostitute, a harlot. She sold her body and she sold her love for money. That's how she made a living, the oldest trade in the world. And yet God said to Hosea, go and choose a wife whose background has been a life of prostitution. And take her into covenant union with yourself. Provide for her, love her, nourish her, cherish her, and provide for her, and just enter into a covenant union with her. And it's a picture of what God does whenever he saves a sinner. If we're honest tonight, we have to concede that God did not find us in a place where God could love us because of anything that was in us. Whenever God looked upon this world, he saw lives that were broken. He saw homes that were broken. He saw his law that was broken. He saw minds that were broken. He saw purity that was broken. He saw a broken world. And he saw a people that were bent on living in rebellion against God. And God's grace is unconditional grace. It's unmerited grace. It's unconditional. It's unearned. Richard Sibbes said concerning the grace of God that God's grace is above and beyond all conditions. Now, that this grace in Gomer's life is unconditional is seen in several areas. It's seen, first of all, in her being chosen. God said, go and take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Verse 3 says, so he went and took Gomer. She was chosen by Hosea. She was chosen. He had to go and choose a wife. And I know tonight that it's not a popular doctrine. But in salvation, friends, God is the one that chooses the sinner onto salvation. It's not that I chose him, but that it's God from before the foundation of the world. He set his love, his eternal, electing, everlasting, effectual love upon this sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ said it himself in Matthew 20 and verse 16. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. John 15:16, he says, not that you have chosen me, but I have chosen you. In verse 19 of John 15, he said to his disciples, I have chosen you out of this world. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, Peter says that we are a chosen generation. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, to make it abundantly clear, says that we are chosen unto salvation. Maybe tonight you think that that's unfair, that God would choose sinners unto salvation. But friend, if God didn't choose a sinner, nobody would be saved. Because man neither has the sense, the will, the desire, or the ability to choose Christ left unto himself. Scripture says that the mind of man, the carnal mind, is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Man is not good God in his thoughts. Scripture says there's none that understandeth, there is none that doeth good, there is none that seeketh after God. It says we are all as an unclean thing, All of her righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Scripture says that the natural mind spiritually is blind, is deaf, and is defiled. And also, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the natural man is dead. You have he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And a dead man can do nothing. And so a man that is dead in sin can do nothing even to save himself. He cannot even reach out in and of himself and embrace God's Son. He needs the grace of God in his life to change his will and to change his heart and to draw him effectually unto the Lord. That's why the Lord said to the Pharisees of his day, he says, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And I look down tonight and I see a congregation. Some are saved and some aren't. And there's people maybe tonight in this meeting and you know that you're lost. You know that you're not going to heaven. You know that you're not saved. You know that the latter end of your existence is going to be an eternity in hell, but you still will not come. Why? Because you can't come because you're dead in sins. You need the grace of God to save you and to reach in there and to change you. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, according as he hath chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So Hosea chose this woman. She didn't deserve to be married to Hosea. And I certainly tonight do not deserve to be in covenant union with the God of heaven. But God's unconditional grace is seen in the fact that God chooses us. As Robert Murray McShane said, chosen not for good in me. Wakened up from wrath to flee. Hidden in the Saviour's side by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by thy grace how much I owe. God never chooses a sinner on merit. If God was to look for merit in your life and mine, he wouldn't find it. Because we've all sinned and have come short of the glory of God. John Calvin said, when God elects us, it is not because we are handsome. And Hosea chose Gomer, a harlot, a prostitute, someone that was defiled and unclean. And Christian, tonight in this meeting, God chose you from before the foundation of the world. Unconditional grace in her being chosen. Unconditional grace is seen not only in her being chosen, but it's also seen in her being changed. She was transformed. She was redeemed out of this lifestyle. She was brought by Hosea. She was taken on to himself. And Hosea rescued her from the trade of prostitution. And evidently, as all people do whenever they get married, they take vows. And Hosea's wife made vows that she would follow him, that she would honor him, that she would obey him, that she would be faithful to him. And Hosea took vows that he would love her, that he would provide for her, that he would protect her, that he would nourish her, that he would cherish her. And maybe tonight in this meeting, you too have been saved. And there was a time whenever you could look back in your life at the wonderful change that God made in your heart and in your mind and in your conduct. And you promised the night you got converted that you would follow God, that you would love him, that you would witness for him, that you would never leave him, that you would walk with him, that you would talk with him, and you would stand by his side and you would obey him. And evidently and apparently, Gomer died to the old life. She left it all behind. She was espoused to one husband. And her life was changed. And she was forgiven by God and by her husband for the life that she had lived. And there was a real change that was wrought in her life. And it was the grace of God that wrought that change. And folks, tonight it's as simple as this. Despite what a person professes to be, or where they profess to be going, or what they profess to have happened away back there in the past, the Bible is abundantly clear that if a person has been changed and they've met the grace of God in their life, that God will transform that person's life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. Biblical, Holy Ghost, Bible salvation changes an individual. As we read in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse number 21, Paul asks the question, what fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. What a change. He says, look back at the life that you live, and you're ashamed of the way you live. But now, you're bringing forth fruit unto God, and fruit unto holiness. Romans 7 and verse 4 puts it this way, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, and that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And as Hosea married this woman, she brought forth fruit unto him. She loved him, she obeyed him, she walked with him, and her life was changed by the grace of God. This unconditional grace is also seen in the fact of her being cherished. Hosea loved her. He loved Gomer as no man had ever loved her. As Jesus Christ loves the church and loves the sinner and loves the redeemed sinner as no person has ever loved you. There is no love like the love of Jesus. I never knew what real love was until I met the Lord. I thank God for a loving father. I thank God for a loving mother. I thank God for loving grandparents. But there is no love like the love of Jesus. She was cherished. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then it goes on to say in verse 29 of Ephesians 5, that he nourisheth it and cherisheth the church. Christian, tonight let me tell you that God loves you. And God cherishes you. As the apple of his eye, as a pearl of great price, as treasure that's hidden in a field. In spite of all that Hosea, his wife, had done, in spite of all that Gomer was, Hosea loved her. And what love God has for his people, he says in verse number 4 of chapter 14, I will love them freely. The triumph of grace in the life of Hosea, in her being chosen, in her being changed, in her being cherished, and also in her bearing children. It tells us there in verse number 3 of Hosea chapter 1 that she bare him a son, and that boy's name was Jezreel. Verse number 6 says she conceived again and bare a daughter. Verse 8 says she conceived again and bare a son. You see, her life was changed and she got married to this man. And she had 2 sons and 1 daughter. In other words, there was fruit to be seen for this covenant relationship that they had together. She bore children to Hosea. There was fruit there. There was a change there. There was something there that people could look at and say that this relationship is real. It's tangible. They're in love. And here's fruit. And the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ has chosen us and ordained us that we should bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain. Fruit unto God. Fruit unto holiness. And friend, if there's no fruit in a person's life, it's evident that there's no real root in God's grace. Because God's grace will do these things in our lives. It was unconditional grace. But greater still, it was unchanging grace. You see, there came a night, I don't know when it was or how it happened, but I can picture it in Scripture. Hosea comes home from a busy day, calling the people of Israel unto the Lord and preaching and visiting and doing what he had to do. And he comes home and he turns the key in the door and he enters into his home and there's his 2 sons and his little daughter and they're sitting at the table and the table is bare and they're crying and they're weeping and they're broken. And Hosea looks around the house and his wife's not there. She's gone. And the children don't know where she's gone. And maybe Hosea goes out and looks around the house and can't find her. There's no note that's left. He maybe scours the town to try and find his wife. And then in an instant of time, the prophet's heart is broken because he realizes that his beloved wife has gone back to her old trade and she's gone back to the streets again. But Hosea loves her still. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto me, go yet or go again. Love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. You know, I'm sure Hosea just was in a quandary. Lord, you told me to marry this woman. And she's made vows and she's made promises and we've got children. And look at the state of things and she's gone back to that lifestyle and she's defiled herself and people are talking about it and people are talking about me. And Lord, you want me to go back and love her as if nothing has changed? Well, the Lord says, I don't want you to love her as if nothing has changed, but I want you to love her with an unchanging love. Unchanging grace. I'm glad tonight that God never changes. I'm glad tonight that God loves second-hand people. I'm glad tonight that God loves and redeems the devil's castaway. It was unchanging grace despite her departure. Chapter 1 and verse number 2 tells us that the children of the land have committed great whoredom in departing from the Lord. Now, it was bad enough that she had departed. It was bad enough that she wasn't found at her husband's side anymore or providing for her children anymore. But she'd gone back to the old trade. She'd gone back to the old lifestyle. Let me tell you tonight, friend, not all backsliders go back to the pub. Not all backsliders go back to the booze. Not all backsliders go back to the gambling, but you can be sitting in a meeting like this tonight and just as backslidden as the person that is in the pub and the person that is living in the gutter. You see, one of those churches that the Lord spoke to in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, the Lord says, I've got something against you. These are people that are sitting in church. And he says, I've got something against you despite your orthodoxy, despite your theology, despite your practice. He says, you have left your first love. And you've left me. You mightn't have departed geographically, but your heart is no longer with the Lord. Or maybe like the prodigal, you're in the far country tonight. And there's no real good reason that you've departed. Oh, you can make an excuse and say, well, there's people in the church didn't look at me. There was hypocrites there. There's too many temptations in the world and too many temptations in the workplace. And things just weren't right in the home. But let me ask you tonight, who have you left? Almighty God. And he loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you unconditionally. He loves you unchangeably. And he loves you tonight. And God has done nothing that would cause you to depart from him. All he did was call you, love you, save you, die for you on a cross. And tonight you've left him. But I want to tell you tonight, backslider, he loves you still. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He says, return unto me, for I am married to you. You might have broken your part of the covenant. You might have broken your vows, but I'll tell you tonight, God is a covenant and a promise-keeping God. Hosea loved Gomer in spite of her departure. His unchanging grace is seen in spite of her dishonor. She dishonored her God. She got involved in this trade that was filthy, defiled, and unclean. She dishonored her husband. She dishonored her children. She dishonored herself. And maybe tonight you've done the same. And he loves you despite it all. And his grace is unchanging despite your departure. That you've dishonored him despite your defilement. You see, instead of being with her husband and instead of being at home with her children, instead of putting them into bed, this woman's lying in another bed. Lying there with men that have no care for her, no concern for her, and no conscience as to what they do to her. And friend, the world is exactly the same.
You see, tonight, you know what happens whenever a person gets out of fellowship with God and without a fellowship with God's people, and they get away there into the world? The heart of God breaks for that person, and the heart of God's people breaks for that person as well. You see, people that leave the church and they go into the world, I'll tell you tonight, it hurts the heart of God's people. And there's tears that are shed publicly and tears that are shed privately. But you know something? If you're not seen at the pub on a Saturday night, nobody really cares. If you give all your money to the publican doesn't really care that you're breaking your bank balance to try and fund his business. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that your wife's lying at home weeping. He doesn't care that children are unloved. He doesn't care that there's abuse. No, he doesn't care. But I'll tell you tonight, God cares. God loves you tonight. And his grace is unchanging despite your defilement. You see, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 about those that knew the truth and embraced the truth and professed to love the truth, and yet they depart and they go back. It says it's just like the proverb. They're like the sow that's turned again to wallowing in the mire, or to the dog that's returned to his own vomit. And outside of God's grace, all that there is in this world is mire and defilement and filth. And maybe tonight you're selling out the most wonderful love and grace and mercy that you've ever known for the mire and the defilement of this world. Instead of being with the family and fold of God, you're defiling yourself, defiling your testimony, and defiling the name of your God, as the children of Israel did. And yet God loved them still. Oh, the love of God tonight. He loved them in spite of their defilement. He loved them in spite of their disappointment. You see, it says in Hosea chapter 2, verse number 7, and it's speaking of Gomer and it's speaking of Israel. She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. And the backslider in heart ultimately will realize, if they were ever truly converted in the first place, that this world is a vast world of disappointment. And they will ultimately, I believe, get to that place where they'll say, I'm going to go and I'm going to return because my first husband loved me more than this world could ever love me. And my first husband satisfied me more than this world could ever satisfy me. It was said of the prodigal, wasn't it? When he came to his sentence, he says, I will go and return to my father. And he knew that it was better in the father's house than it was better down there in the pig pen. You see, the thrill for Gomer was short-lived. Many people reach what we sometimes call a midlife crisis, and oftentimes it's just an excuse for sin. I can think about a teacher that we had in college, not Bible college, of course, but technical college in Lisburn many years ago. He had a wife, he had a family, he was prosperous, he was one of the head teachers in the place. He got onto the internet, into one of these chat rooms, met a woman from America, agreed that if she left her husband and left her children, that he would leave his wife and her children, and he just uprooted, and he went and he left it all behind to be a spouse to somebody else. I'll tell you, Christian, you need to be careful when it comes to the internet and chat rooms, spilling your guts to strangers whenever you wouldn't even spend 2 minutes pouring out your heart before God. And that's what she did. And that's what the Christian does whenever they get out of fellowship with God and they go out into the world and they say, Lord, it's goodbye, and I'm going to embrace this and I'm going to do this. And the heart of God is broken. But you know something? Hosea loved Gomer in spite of her disappointment, in spite of her being deserted by the lovers that she found in the world. Evidently, her lovers no longer cared. They left her on the scrap heap. You know, most of you know that last Saturday I was in hospital for a while with kidney stones. I had them about 6 years ago, and
remember being in Macrofelt Hospital, and I was on some morphine, and I came round, and there was a young man lying in the bed beside me. And we got talking, and he'd fallen, and his face was all bruised and swollen, and began to tell me about the night before, and out with his friends, and he'd drank too much. He was a Roman Catholic lad, and he says, you know, I don't know how I got here. And he was trying to ring his friends. He said, none of them want to answer the phone. And none of them, they just left him. And I don't know how he got to hospital. And you know what he says? My dad's going to kill me. I remember thinking, well, what about your friends? They don't really care about you. They just left you lying in the street and you fell there. And somehow you get into hospital. None of them have spent the night with you. None of them are in today or this morning or this afternoon seeing you. And you've just been left a fool, and friend, the devil will do exactly the same for you. The love that you'll find in this world, it'll leave you broken. And you know something else? I pray that it does. Nothing worse than a professing backslider loving their sin and loving the world and just having no desire to return to the Lord. See, the scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. God is not going to allow Hosea's wife Gomer to be content living the life that she's now living, knowing that what she was saved from and what she enjoyed from the love of her husband Hosea is not going to allow it to remain that way forever. And so it is with the God of heaven. He will not allow a genuine, born-again child of God to experience happiness in this world. They will experience defilement, disappointment, and desertion, and then that in turn will lead to drudgery. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 2. Hosea finds her ultimately, and he says, I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Evidently, this woman, through some series of events, we're not sure what happened, she became the property of one of her so-called clients in the world. She became a slave. And she was not free to return to Hosea unless he paid a redemption price to redeem her and to buy her back from the slave market of sin that she's now in. He had to purchase her. Maybe tonight you're a slave. Maybe there's a relationship that you're involved in, and that's stopping you from getting right with God. Maybe there's a habit that you've cultivated in your life, and that's sapping you from all the joy and peace that God can give you. Maybe there's a besetting sin in your life, and you cannot break free. You're a slave to that thing that was a thrill at the start. You loved it, now you hate it, and you despise it. And there's a slave master in your life that owns you, and you cannot break free. Sad thing. Hosea loved her still. In spite of her departure, her dishonor, her defilement, her disappointment, her desertion, her drudgery, and also her destruction. You see, there's a little verse in Hosea 13 and verse number 9 where God says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And don't forget that Gomer is a picture of the nation of Israel. She has destroyed herself. But there's help with the Lord. There's hope as long as God is still on the throne. As long as God honors his promise, there's hope for Gomer. There's hope for Israel. And backslider, there's hope for you. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody in the meeting and you're on the brink of backsliding and you're on the brink of wrecking and ruining and destroying your life. It's an amazing thing. You speak to people and they'll acknowledge that they're bound by sin. They will acknowledge that they're in the wrong place. They're acknowledging that they're making decisions that are going to bind them into all sorts of relationships and contracts, and it will destroy them, but they just don't care because they love the thrill that they're in at the minute, but they're on the brink of ruining their life. And maybe tonight your life has been destroyed. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but God says, in me is thine help. You have failed. You have changed. But God's grace is unconditional. God's grace is unchanging. Lastly, God's grace is unceasing. It never ends. And it didn't end in the life of Gomer.
You see, whenever Hosea found his wife, and she was guilty of adultery
and of prostitution, the Levitical law says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, that the adulteress shall be taken out into a public place and stoned. The penalty for it was death. And friends, tonight, if God was to inflict the penalty of the law in your life, it would be immediate death. You've broken God's law.
You've dishonored God's name. You've dishonored God's day. You've dishonored God's honor. You've maybe been unfaithful in marriage. You've told lies. You've stolen. You've cheated. You've coveted. You've murdered in your heart. You've told lies. And the penalty of that is death.
And the penalty for what Gomer had done was death. But this is whenever grace steps in, and it was redemptive grace. It was grace that brought redemption. Verse 2 of chapter 3, Hosea says, I bought her to me. I redeemed her unto myself for 15 pieces of silver. But you know, that wasn't enough. And for an homer of barley, and for half a homer of barley. You see, Hosea didn't have enough money to redeem his wife.
And he had to go into his food supplies and literally starve himself and cut his own throat that he might redeem this woman back onto himself. It literally took everything he had to redeem her and to buy her back.
And I want to tell you tonight, Christian backslider in this meeting, it took God's own dear son everything that he had to redeem you from the slave market of sin.
It took his life's blood. You're not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Years ago, the Welsh preacher Roland Hill was standing preaching in the open air. Some of you might know, it's a very familiar and historic story. Preaching to a large crowd of people, and a carriage drew up beside them, and the carriage stopped, and a lady in the carriage rolled down the window. It was a famous stateswoman from that area. Her name was Lady Anne Erskine. And as soon as Roland Hill saw this woman, he says, men and women, now we're going to have an auction. He says, do I have someone to make an offer, a bid for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? And you know, she was, her ears pricked up, and she began to listen. What strange scene is this?
And Roland Hill looked around the great crowd, and he looked to the back, and he says, ah, I see a bidder. It's the world. World, tell me, what will you give me for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine?
And the world says, I will give her pleasure. I will give her joy. I will give her wealth, fame, a life of ease. He says, that is a fine price, but what do you offer her in death? And the world says, I have nothing to offer her in death. I cannot give her hope, peace, assurance, or contentment. Roland Hill says, that is but a poor offer. Is there another bidder in this great audience? And he looked to the other side and says, ah, I see another man with a bid, and it's the devil himself. Tell me, what will you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? The devil says, I will offer her a life of immorality, a life of bondage, a life of sin, and a life of drudgery. What do you offer her in death? Condemnation. Hell forever. Pain and suffering for all eternity. And then Roland Hill says, Lady Anne Erskine, what do you think of these two bids? Is there another bidder in the crowd this day? He says, I see another man. It's Jesus Christ. What will you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? He said, I will give my life's blood for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. I will take her sin, and in its place I will give her peace, joy, righteousness. What do you offer her then in death after a life of blessing? He says, I offer her peace in death, assurance of peace with God, and a home in heaven. And that day, Lady Anne Erskine embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight he offers you so much. He counts your soul a precious thing. And he wants to redeem you with his own precious blood. It was unceasing grace that brought her redemption. It also brought her remittance. And by that word, I mean the forgiveness of sins.
Hosea found his wife. She's bound, she's chained, she's shackled, she's naked, she's dirty, she's defiled. And Hosea sits down beside her and he takes a key and he unlocks those locks that are binding her and the shackles, and he puts his arm around her and he says, Gomer, I love you. You're coming home with me tonight. I don't care what you've done. I love you still. And so tonight Jesus Christ sits down beside the backslider. And he sits with a key in his hand and he says, I want to set you free. I want to let you go. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Thou art mine. Why don't you come home with me? And friend, tonight in this meeting that's so cold at heart and so backslidden, will you respond to God's offer of mercy? And will you say to Jesus Christ tonight, I want to come home with you. And I want you to come into my home again, and I want you to just forgive me for all the sin and all the shame that I have caused you. It was wonderful, wonderful redeeming grace. Grace that forgives. Years ago, a man stumbled from a Christian home into the world. His parents were believers. They were prosperous people. He went his own way. He entered into a life of iniquity and shame and sin. Stumbled his way into a gospel mission somewhere in the region of Chicago. All he had to cover his nakedness was a pair of torn trousers and an old overcoat that was closed with a safety pin. But that night in that mission, that man heard that Jesus Christ loved him and he gave his life to God. 2 years later, he was invited back to give his testimony in that same place where he first met the Lord. At the end of his testimony, he reached into his new suit pocket and pulled out a gold-plated safety pin. It was ever a reminder to him what he had come from and what the Lord had saved him from. And every time Gomer looks at her husband, Hosea, she thinks back to what he saved her from, not only once, but twice, and how he had forgiven her. It was grace that redeemed her. Grace that brought remittance for her sin. But lastly, it was grace that restored her. You see, the night Hosea found her in that back street in his hometown, her life was restored. Her marriage was restored. Her little home was restored, and her relationship with her children was restored, and her soul was restored. Grace that can restore. Friend, the grace of God is a wonderful thing. The psalmist said, He restoreth my soul. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And Hosea comes back into the home and the surroundings haven't changed. And her children meet her at the door and she goes in and she sits down and there's a table that's set before her. And Hosea sits down and loved her with an everlasting love. Backslider, tonight in this meeting, you can be restored. God loves second-hand people. Tonight you may be in the devil's pawn shop. You do not really belong to him, but that's where you are. There was a time whenever the Lord redeemed you from your sin, but you have departed tonight, and physically speaking, you're lost. And you're in the devil's pawn shop, but you know something? The Lord tonight stands and he says, will you allow me to redeem you and bring you back to myself? And forgive you. And restore you. You know, tonight in this meeting, he can give you a glorious, glorious new start. The grace of God is a wonderful thing. Church in America that was famous for its stained glass windows. There was once a great storm and a tree came down behind the pulpit and shattered the great stained glass window that had stood there for centuries. And in the interim period, they put a new window in, just something a little bit more simple and superficial. But on one occasion, a man was in the church and he found a box with all the broken fragments of glass. And he asked one of the deacons in the church, "What's all this?" And he told him the story of the window that had been broken. He says it was shattered into thousands of pieces and we could never fix it. The man says, "Well, would you mind if I took the broken glass?" He says, "That's fine. You can take it if you want. It's really of no use to us. It was going to be thrown out anyway." Several years later, that man called for the deacons of that church to go to a famous art gallery in the United States. His work of art, they didn't know that he was an artist, but this work of art was going to be unveiled. And they went into the art gallery, and there's a big curtain, and the curtain was drawn at a given time, and everybody stood amazed as they watched and looked through this stained glass window, and as the rays of the light were spread in all sorts of directions, and it was beautiful. And they asked him the story, and he told them the story of this box of fragments that he'd found, and he made it into something beautiful that nobody thought it could happen, but it did happen. And that pane of glass was then taken and put in its rightful place behind the pulpit in that church. And it's a picture of what the grace of God can do in a life. Maybe tonight your life is broken into 1,000 pieces. And it's just like it's boxed in a dark place and nobody has any hope for you. But the grace of God can change it all. In time, in an instant of time and over a period of time, your life can be brought together again and the Lord can take the broken pieces and make again the marred vessel. The triumph of grace in the life of Gomer. Backslider, tonight it's time that you came back to the Lord. He's here tonight. And he stands with arms open wide and he says to you tonight, "Come home with me." I wonder tonight, will you come home? Return to your first love. Isaiah 14:4 says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely." Come to him tonight, and if we can be of any help or assistance to you, speak to us after the meeting. Time is gone, so we'll just close now in a word of prayer. Our blessed God and our loving Father, we thank thee that we have a God in heaven tonight that is able to take the broken pieces of a life that has been destroyed and wasted and defiled and ruined, make it again into something beautiful and something precious. Lord, we believe this tonight. And O God, we pray that thou wilt speak to hearts. Lord, encourage the people of God concerning their loved ones, that the Lord is able to do great and mighty things. O God, we pray for some in the meeting tonight not saved or maybe hopelessly backslidden. O God, draw them to thyself. Part us now with thy blessing. Give deciding grace. And Lord, may none leave this meeting house tonight outside of God's mercy. Lord, speak on. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen.